I'll be reading out of New King James, Ephesians 5, 8 through 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen. All God's people say, amen. Amen. That's the Word of God. May it be so in our lives. May it be so in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to you right now, we ask that your Word may get from our heads to our heart. That, Lord, we may not just have understanding or knowledge, but that, Lord, you will be able to help us to implement God's Word in the lives we live. Be with us now, and may Satan not snatch the Word of God from our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to be asking for a lot of amens tonight, or this morning, because I want to make sure that you're here. Amen? Okay. You know, we're continuing our series. It's kind of like a steps that we go up, because we're living out the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're living out the love. We need to take a look at how God defines love, because the world redefines it.
Amen.
Sure does. Completely gives different definition to love than what God gives. So we need to redefine love according to God's way. You know, the world also redefines evil. Did you know that? Did you ever stop and think about that? How could a person ever delight in evil? How could he? You know how it's done? You call evil good. Yeah. And that is exactly what is happening in our culture. We call evil good. We redefine evil. And to God, it is evil. And so the person delights in evil. Now, how do you delight in evil? You reterm it or you redefine it. You call it the spicy story. Now, you've heard that, yeah? You know, boy, did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what happened over there? Did you know that, well, they got in trouble? Did you know that? Huh? Now, the world calls it the latest news. Okay? Did you have the latest news? And unfortunately, women, you get picked on for this. You know what? There's been all kinds of jokes about women and the telephone and the telegraph and the telewoman, okay? But let me tell you something. They say, well, it's the beauty shop. Well, let me tell you something. I've seen some men in the corner restaurants. Yeah, yeah. They've been in the corner restaurants, they've been in the McDonald's, and they've been in the barber shop, and they have had the spicy stories too. And they have shared it. The world calls it the latest news, but God calls it gossip. Gossip. And that's what happens. The world calls it the tabloids, but God calls it gossip. And I find out that in the morning when I'm looking at the news, I want to check up on the news. I find out that most of it's not news. You know, it's gossip. It's the latest escapades of some music rock star or some movie person that got into trouble. And so there, here's the latest on what happened to. And it goes on. It's the spicy story. Well, let me tell you something. That's not anything new, this redefining of words. The Corinthian church was a terrible church to redefine terms and redefine things. In fact, in chapters 5 and 6, when we look at the Corinthian church, we find that they redefined many, many things. Take a look at chapter 5. Listen to what Paul has to write to them. He says, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Now, they didn't call it that. But Paul calls it that. It says, and a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? You see, they redefined things, didn't they? And thought it was okay. Sexual sins are being redefined all the time in our culture. You know that? In our society, it's being okay, just like it was in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to remind them that they were no longer part of the world. They were no longer a part of that pagan world. That our morals are different. But you know, in our culture, our morals are changing, aren't they? They're a lot different than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's like a different world because things have been redefined. Things that were sexually unacceptable are now being accepted and they're being promoted. Promoted. I made the mistake, people, of when I was doing the sermon on pride, I typed in pride images. And I got gay pride and all kinds of images. And I said, whoa, things are being redefined. Look with me in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. If any of you have a dispute with one another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Boy, that has changed, hasn't it? You know, no longer do we seek the wisdom of brothers and sisters. We go right to the court. Let's sue. You know? And look at 7 through 11. It says, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you've completely defeated, you've been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you cheat and you do wrong. And you do this to your brothers and your sisters. Or you do not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. And Paul gives us a list here of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, or men who have sex with men. That's how it's now translated in the new NIV. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I want us to take a look at this list because it's an interesting list. It says they worship false gods. You say, well, we don't have that in our society, do we? Yes, we do. Oh, you know, the Hindus, they're going the same place we are. Or the Buddhists, they're going to the same place we are. Or isn't Allah the same as our God? No. Or they commit adultery. You know, in our society, extramarital affairs are almost accepted. Oh, okay. Or what about they commit homosexuality? Now that is something that is truly changing in our society. It's now an acceptable way of life, an alternative way of living. And you know what? That's a redefinition. Now, how about they steal? How many times have you turned on the news and you found someone who's embezzled money? Either through mutual funds or through some things, financial fraud or whatever. It's been redefined. And what kind of punishment do they really get? A slap on the wrist? They are greedy and swindlers. How about they are drunkards? Well, let me tell you, their drinking is just a result of their genetics. Well, maybe it is, people. Maybe it is genetic. Drinking runs in our family. Alcoholism runs in our family. But you know what? I would never tell an alcoholic, go ahead, keep drinking. You can't help it. Would you? Would you tell an alcoholic to go ahead and continue in their sin? Why would you tell a homosexual, go ahead and do it? Or a womanizer, go ahead and commit adultery. You see, what Paul is getting at is in this list of all these things, the swindlers, the drunkards, and all of that, and the homosexuals, he's saying, such were some of you. But there's been a change, people. Amen. When Jesus comes into the heart and the life of a person, there is a change. Amen. Now let me tell you something. The alcoholic may always struggle with alcoholism. But that doesn't mean they are to continue to live that lifestyle, does it? No. And neither is it in any of these other things. But we're redefining things in our culture because we're losing the hold of Christianity in our culture. And Paul says that when they practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, but such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Spirit lives in us. Amen? Amen? What a wonderful thing it is. God changes us from the inside out. And we're not to be like the world. In fact, when you look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, you find this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know, this is corporate worship. But our real worship is how we live. Amen. That's our worship. And it says, holy, pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be redefined. And don't let culture redefine sin. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Oh. You know what? The Christian has got to realize that evil traps and it's like quicksand. Now, when I was young, I could hardly wait to get home from school in elementary because the Tarzan movies were on. And Tarzan was my hero. So I would run to the TV to watch Tarzan. And sure enough, sometime in the story, someone got stuck in quicksand. Yeah, it seemed like there was quicksand all around. But let me tell you, there's quicksand all around our culture. There really is. And people are getting trapped. And they're being in the quicksand. You know, God's ways are always right, people. Let me tell you something. He's made you. Do you think he knows what's right for you? Amen. And he has told it, people. Right here it is. It's God's word. We've got to be a people of the Word of God. We've got to know this, and not only know it, it's got to slip from here to here so that we do it. We cannot let the world define us. You know, today we celebrate and worship the presence of Jesus. Isn't that great? To truly celebrate what Christ has done. Are you happy for what Christ has done in your life?
Amen.
Do you reflect upon that? Do you think about it and say, Lord, I thank you. Boy, you've made a difference in my life. I thank you, God. Well, we rejoice today. In fact, when it comes to 1 Corinthians 13, the passage that says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Did you notice that it says with the truth? Now, rejoice with the truth. That's my second point. Can you rejoice with Jesus? Can you rejoice with him? Christ has given us new life. Christ has given us a new way of living. Christ has given us a fresh start. But you know what? Many times we resist the truth, don't we? In our lives. Sometimes the last thing we want to hear is the truth. And we avoid it. We are like Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they tried to hide. And so we try to hide. We either try to hide or we try to redefine something. Living out the love of God means that we rejoice with the truth. And the truth is Jesus, people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, love is brave, isn't it? Love is brave. And sometimes we're going to have to stand against the majority. And people, it's going to get harder because the scripture that Cheryl read today says the days are evil. Amen. And it's going to get worse. Now in John 8, 31 and 32, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. It's not saying if you got it up here, it's saying if you've got it in your heart and you're living it. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Jesus, the truth. Well, you know what the fruit of light is, and Cheryl read that in that passage from Ephesians 5:8. It says in this that, for you were once darkness. Did you notice it says you were once darkness? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those three things. Now, many of the translations say once in darkness, now in light. Okay, and if you have a translation that says that, that's okay. But stop and think about it. If you're in darkness, you are darkness. Because if you were light and you were in darkness, there wouldn't be any darkness. Right? Did you follow that? So, you are darkness or you are light, one or the other. One of my favorite contemporary groups is a group called New World Sun. And I love their music. That's happy music they play. But they had come out with a song that's been on the fish quite a bit called Learning to Be the Light. And we sang it here, I think, a couple of times. The words to that says, it's so much brighter living in your world. Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, whoa, I'm learning to be light. How beautiful that is. Well, the fruit of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So let's live the way God wants us to live. Let's do it. Let's live light, and truth will be the fruit. And you need to ask yourself, because in that Ephesian passage, it tells us that we need to ask, what pleases the Lord? See, we talked about things that kill a church, and many times it's I. And they got eye trouble. But what pleases the Lord? And then light, realize it exposes the darkness. And sometimes when the darkness is exposed, those in the darkness don't like it. They don't like it at all. It's time we live with truth and that we no longer remain silent, people. The light of Jesus Christ in us must expose the darkness, and we shouldn't remain silent. Oh, there's one more scripture that I want us to take a look at. And it's found in Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. And every once in a while, I forget about this passage, and I get it out and I'll read it, and I'll say, Lord, remind me of this, that the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they will perish, and get this, they will perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. A sad verse. And it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. God's going to give you what you want. If you want to live in that darkness and you never, ever, 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 ever want to turn to Him, then He'll give it to you. But brothers and sisters, until Jesus comes, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. Maybe someone here needs to accept Christ and start on that journey. Oh, let me tell you something. It's not easy, but He'll give you joy in going through it. And He will never forsake you. He will never let you go. He will never, ever forsake you. He'll be with you through it all. And the world can come down pretty hard and cause some real, real pain and suffering. But Jesus is there. And He's with you. But you know what? You got to start the journey with Him. And that's why every Sunday we offer the invitation. And that invitation is for you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ if you have not. Or for you to come and make this place your home so that we can fight Satan together. Amen. God may be tugging at your heart. Don't resist Him. I can guarantee this very second, but I cannot guarantee the second to come. We're going to offer an invitation. Won't you come? Won't you come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer. Father God, the world tells us lies. We believe the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, no one comes unto the Father except through me. And so, Lord, we want to speak the truth, proclaim the truth. Lord, we want people to accept the truth. Father, if there's someone here that Lord, they haven't accepted you. Their heart is beginning to wonder, is beginning to reach to you, Lord, may they come forward. May they give it all to Jesus. Lord, maybe there's someone here too that needs to join this church and become a part of this church as we work together. May your name be glorified. We ask them to come too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.